Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a Monday and we are packed. Live in Los Angeles, the home of winners, by the way. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. What a great last two football games we saw across America. Packers, Niners. Officiating wasn't up to par, but the game was amazing. And the Rams, Buccaneers. Wow. That was heavyweight fights right there. That was big boy football on display. Joy Taylor joining me 1 hour from now. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong. That's loaded. But that was just, you saw a little bit. How many stars, the final four teams that played, how many Hall of Famers and Pro Bowlers were on the field? 20?
It was a football feast.
It was.
One might call it romantic.
Yes. Mystery in the offseason, romantic during the season. Even if Green Bay had lost last night, because Garoppolo led the Niners down, and you're like, what's going on here? Green Bay is the better team tonight. Even if the Packers would have lost, that was the most impressive display by the Packers I think I've seen in multiple years. For the first time that I can remember, they went toe-to-toe, and they had to do it on the road with a super talented, well-coached, physical team. And they weren't pretty, and they didn't finesse it. They were right in the octagon with the 49ers, and the Packers were the more physical team. The Packers' defensive front, and the Niners have a Hall of Famer at left tackle. That's a good offensive line. Packers' defensive front sacked Garoppolo 4 times, hit him 10 times. He's never been hit 10 times in a game. The Packer defensive front, their front 7, missing, by the way, a player or two, push the Niners' offensive front around the field. The Packers' offensive line, missing arguably the best left tackle in football, David Bakhtiari. They were on their third-string left tackle. Opened up running lanes for Aaron Jones. Gave Aaron Rodgers time to throw. That was impressive. That was a dogfight. I said this last week. I've seen so many Green Bay wins. You know, Aaron Rodgers, comfortable, time to throw, dices, slices. That's a dogfight. Green Bay was the better team last night. They were the better team from the first drive. Matt LaFleur out-schemed Kyle Shanahan. The Packers out-physicaled one of the most physical teams in football. And this is important now because to get to the Super Bowl, and that's Green Bay standard now. Let's get to the Super Bowl. We're not talking about wild card stuff. This is the difference. This is the Yankees in baseball, or the Dodgers in baseball. This is, you know, this is your big boy college football powers like your Ohio State, Notre Dame. The Outback Bowl's not good enough. We're talking Super Bowls. So what does Green Bay have? The best teams in this league, and let's just talk Tampa Bay. Green Bay has three components that are very, very important, crucial to beat Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Number one, Jair Alexander, they have an elite corner. So they can just go say, you guard Mike Evans. Like, try to take Mike out of the game. That's very important. Rams also have that in Jalen Ramsey. The Packers also have, we saw it last night, Kenny Clark and their interior pass rush. They can make an old quarterback uncomfortable, right at his feet. Get Tom uncomfortable. Not beating Tampa if Tom's comfortable for 3.5 hours. And the number three thing is, they have the ability, Green Bay, to go over the top with Devontae Adams and score very, very quickly. You're not going to run the football on Tampa. You're not running the football on Tampa. So you got to figure out a way to get cheap points. So between the great corner, the interior rush, over the top scoring, and you saw it all on display last night against a very physical football team. I just can't tell you how impressed I was with Green Bay. And, you know, listen, you can lose games, believe it or not, and I can go, wow. And when Jimmy Garoppolo came down the field and scored, I thought, this doesn't make any sense. Green Bay is a better football team tonight. The better football team, 90% of the time, wins in the NFL. Green Bay was the better football team, the more physical team. They had a better scheme. They had the better quarterback. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers, and I'm sure you noticed this. This was the good Aaron. This wasn't the passive-aggressive. Did you notice how he barked at his center last night? No passive-aggressive nonsense. Aaron was totally vested, emotionally all in. He was going up, screaming at his center after that bad snap that almost screwed up and ended up a fumble. He went right after him, got right in his face. By the way, I like tough coaching, and I like tough quarterbacks. I don't care if a coach yells at a player. I want my quarterback to occasionally yell at players. Peyton Manning yelled at players. Peyton Manning yelling at Jeff Saturday as Pro Bowl center. Brady's barking at coaches. I want my quarterback to be vested. I don't need him to be invincible. I don't need him to be perfect. But I got to have you emotionally in. Don't pull a Jay Cutler. I want you all in. Off season, in season, Aaron was totally invested last night emotionally. I love that he's barking at his center and screaming at him. He's saying, hey, we're out playing him. Don't you screw it up. I loved it. Here's Aaron after.
Matt actually suggested I play on the sideline. That first play, which was something we actually worked on Friday at practice, kind of scribbling in the dirt, and it worked out perfect. Just put it right over Fred's head. Got us kind of down there a little bit. We needed one more play. How could you not be romantic about football, man? Week one was an anomaly. I said that, and I believe that. We bounced back week two, played a great football team tonight, right down to the wire. And this plane ride is going to feel incredible.
It's already landed. Good day for Green Bay. Totally earned it. So I want to talk about the Rams and the Buccaneers. I'm not going to get into specifics, but I was invited to a party Saturday night, and I got to spend some time with Stan Kroenke, who owns the Rams. And it's a big deal. That stadium cost $6.5 billion. It was supposed to cost like $3 billion. And Los Angeles is very competitive. LeBron's in town. The Dodgers draw $4.5 million. We got a beach. We got mountains. People here are not interested in average. And Sean McVay bumped into Matt Stafford in Mexico. And Sean McVay's like, we can't have to coach perfectly to win games. This is L.A. And Matt Stafford said, I want to be a Ram. And McVay said, I want you to be a Ram. And Kroenke told me the story of he was on a tarmac and Sean McVay's on the phone and he's pleading with him. This is the guy. This is Los Angeles. This is the guy. And so Stan Kroenke knew, because a lot of people were after Matt Stafford. Remember, there were like 7-8 teams were after Matt Stafford. You had to make a decision quickly. And Kroenke's like a global real estate guy. He was on the tarmac. The plane was taking off. And he knew that once the plane took off, it was going to take another 10 minutes to get in the air so you could talk again, right? You have to get over 10,000. So Kroenke's sitting there. The plane is taxiing. McVay and Les Snead on the phone. Can we go after Matt Stafford? Can we make this massive move and draft picks and reboot? And Kroenke's like, go for it. And they got Matt Stafford, and you saw it with the Bears, and you saw it last night. Jared Goff now, and I like the kid. He's 0 for 10 when he doesn't have Sean McVay as a coach. And he got to a Super Bowl. He is capable. But last night is why they got Stafford. Home runs. They had a bunch of single and double hitters. McVay could get you doubles all day long. Stafford's a home run hitter. You don't have to design 11 play drives. And McVay was tired of having to coach a perfect drive to score. And there's a lot at stake here. McVay's legacy, Stafford's reputation, the L.A. market being relevant. This is a $6.5 billion stadium. This is, you could feel the pressure and how big that game was last night. That's the biggest game, football game played in Los Angeles since Pete Carroll was here and the Trojans faced Texas. And the coaches know it and the players know it and the pressure is palpable. This is a big deal for a lot of reasons. And I got to tell you something. That is the best football game any team has played all year. Tampa had no shot to win that game. For a game to mean that much, listen to these stats. You're playing a great team. Third down, the Rams were 10 of 15. That's like Alabama against Towson State. Pass attempts, Stafford, 8.5 yards a pass. No turnovers, 27 of 38. Penalties, the Rams had one all night. Red zone, 2 for 2. That is as good a football team can play in a big spot. Tampa had no chance. Tampa wasn't terrible, but I didn't think the Bears matched the urgency. I didn't think last night the Buccaneers matched the passion or urgency. And you can see how much Stafford means to McVay. And by the way, how much McVay means to Stafford. I never thought of Matt Stafford as an overly emotional guy. McVay, when he came into this league, he's on that sidelines. He's very stoic. Sean McVay can't control himself. He's just running all over the field. He loves this guy so much because he knows how much is invested in Matt Stafford. The stadium's almost $7 billion. You're rolling the dice. You're giving up multiple picks. You're not going to have Aaron Donald around long. Jalen Ramsey. This thing has to work. It's got to work fast. LA's impatient. The market's distracted and crowded. And to play that well in that big of a stage, the Fox late game against that good of a team, I'm not sure I've seen a football team as smartly buttoned up as the Rams were last night. Here's McVay after.
I think my hamstrings are already sore. I probably pulled them both. But I think just pure excitement. I'm not really thinking about those things in the moment, just enjoying it with these guys. The fans were awesome today, too. I mean, what an electric atmosphere in this stadium. Think about it. I was just kind of being in the moment and having fun and enjoying watching these guys do their thing. And there was a lot of reasons to be excited for our team today.
Yeah, that felt, I had several friends go, that felt massive. That was as big as football has been in Los Angeles professionally. That was as big a game as this city has had. That felt like a game seven of a World Series, game seven of an NBA final. Everybody was invested. Just a fantastic crowd moment. And I don't think Tampa had a chance. Sometimes you just walk into a snake pit. It's like, it's not going to be our night. It's nothing against Tommy, nothing against Arians. I don't think anybody in the league walks into that stadium. Even the Raiders, who are 3-0, nobody walked into that stadium last night and was beating the Rams for 3.5 hours. We got so much to talk about today. Just tip of the iceberg stuff.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Right now, Casper, the Casper Cooling Collection, the Rise Adjustable Bases have you covered. Go to Casper.com, code HERD100, Casper.com, code HERD100 for $100 off select mattresses. Don't forget, 40 minutes from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. So, you know, I wanted to talk for a second. So Jimmy Garoppolo had a great drive at the end of the game. And I've always said, everybody can quarterback with a lead. Everybody can quarterback when it's comfortable. Jimmy Garoppolo, in the teeth of a big boy pass rush, everybody in the ballpark knew he had to throw, and he led San Francisco down the field several big boy throws, and he won the game for him. It's the Niners' bad corners that lost the game for him. So, but let me remind you, what is the record of all the rookie quarterback teams so far? The Jags have a rookie quarterback, they're 0-3. The Jets have a rookie quarterback, they're 0-3. New England, with the best football coach in the world, has a rookie quarterback, they're 1-2. They'll be 1-3 next week because they play Brady and the Bucks, and the Bears are 1-2. The only team with a first-round rookie quarterback that's winning is San Francisco, who is now 2-1 and 30 seconds from being 3-0. Why? Because they're not playing him much. Playing quarterback is hard. It is incredibly hard. And Garoppolo, I'll tell you how hard quarterback is. Patrick Mahomes is the best, right? He's played 8 quarters of Super Bowl football. He's been bad in 7 of them. And Garoppolo outplayed him for 3 of 4. I'm not saying Garoppolo's top 10. Doesn't have a big arm. I don't love his judgment at all. You can tell the coaches, sometimes with the way they call the game, they don't trust him. But that last drive was big boy football. Trailing, pass rush, excellent coverage. Packers, that Stokes, that young kid they drafted first round out of Georgia, that guy can play. Now, he may be raw, but that guy is glue. He is sticky. He's adhesive tape. He's all over the receivers. He's giving you no space. And we all know Jair Alexander could be the first or second best corner in the league. So that is what it looks like. These rookie quarterbacks, Justin Fields can't get first downs. Mac Jones is scared to death. I mean, Justin Herbert is so much better than from what it appears than all of these rookie quarterbacks. And he went 6-9 last year. He broke every record and went 6-9. So this isn't about me being right on young quarterbacks. What it's saying is Jimmy Garoppolo, this is the hardest thing to do in sports. Bill Belichick is the best football coach ever. Has a top 10 defense, an excellent top 10 offensive line, a veteran offensive coordinator. He can no longer win home games against average teams. Couldn't do it last year with Cam, can't do it this year. Quarterback matters, and if you think you can just throw a kid in there, it is hard. And what Jimmy Garoppolo did last night, you guys can all bang on Jimmy Garoppolo. That was big boy quarterback. Trailing, pass rush, tight coverage, bang, 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 four or five major completions. And there was not a lot of breathing room on that stuff. Those were tight coverages. So all I'm saying is when we talk about young quarterbacks, A, you got to be patient with these guys. But you all want to blame the coach with a rookie quarterback. Urban Meyer is now suddenly an idiot. Matt Nagy, who got Mitch Trubisky to the playoffs twice. Now he's a bum. Well, Belichick can't even win home games against average teams. So before you bang on Jimmy Garoppolo and you bang on the coaches with rookie quarterbacks, Garoppolo showed you. Can your guy do that? Packers all over you. Coverage blanket tight. Bang, bang, bang. Four straight throws. And everybody in the stadium knew there's no running here. There's no running game. That is pin your ears back and come at me. Muddy pocket, little box, no time. Make big throws. So spare me on all these coaches now with rookie quarterbacks don't know what they're doing. Is Robert Saleh, really, he just doesn't know what he's doing. His team couldn't even get a field goal yesterday. Why? Good luck walking out of college and walking into this sport and trying to win football games. You can make plays. You guys are all lecturing me. Zach Wilson had a couple of nice plays in the first week. Oh, he's better than Sam Darnold. I don't know if you've checked. Asking for a friend. Darnold's 3-0. Zach Wilson couldn't get a field goal yesterday. So you appreciate what Garoppolo did. And I'm not saying he's great, but that was a big boy NFL quarterback drive. No space, four completions, big throws, clock running down. You have to manage all of it. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, speaking of a rookie quarterback who had a rough Sunday, Justin Fields made his first career start yesterday, and it was not quite so successful.
Yeah.
26-6 loss to the Browns, and he shared his thoughts on the experience.
You know, I'm not used to this, so I don't like feeling like this. So just me not wanting to feel like this, and literally while I'm saying this, I'm getting goosebumps because I just don't like feeling like this. So I'm just going to get back, and I'm going to work. That's it.
And remember, A, Myles Garrett's one of the 10 best players in the world.
Yep, had 4.5 sacks.
Yeah, he's different. He's the best player easily on the Cleveland roster by a mile. There's nobody even close to him. And Jarvis Landry's good. That he's not like that. So the first thing is, but if you watch this, everybody's blaming Matt Nagy for the schemes. But the reality is, Justin didn't get all the snaps in preseason, right? He was splitting them. And for a while, wasn't getting any of them. So you're not watching the entire playbook here. Matt also doesn't want to throw Justin Fields out there and just say, here's all the plays. It's like, no, he didn't get all the snaps. He shared snaps for this. By the way, Trevor Lawrence got almost all the snaps. He is really struggling. So everybody wants to support or blame. This is hard.
Right. That's the bottom line. First of all, their offensive line is not good.
Not good.
I'm being kind.
It's been a three-year rebuild. They've drafted players. It's terrible.
It's terrible. He got sacked 9 times. Like, that's not Justin Fields' fault. That's not, well, I guess you could argue it's partially Matt Nagy and the organization's fault that the offensive line is so bad, but that's not Justin Fields' fault. Now, him not getting all of the snaps is Matt Nagy's fault. Now, how much that's going to change the outcome of this game, I don't know. The Browns were favored by 7. They were supposed to win this game convincingly. Now, I didn't predict 9 sacks.
But the box score was funny. It was like the Browns had 450 yards. The Bears had 70. It was like that game was not even as close as that score.
Yeah, he was 6 for 20, sacked 9 times, and had a 41.2 passer rating. It was rough. They had 1 yard passing. It was a disaster.
Yeah.
But so what? Like, that's what's going to happen with rookie quarterbacks. And he said he was on the sidelines talking to Nick Foles and Andy Dalton, and they're like, this is how some games go. And it's not about this game. this is going to happen. It's how you bounce back from this game.
Right.
Don't let this get into your psyche, which, you know, when you're being sacked nine times is hard to do, which is somewhat of the argument for not having young quarterbacks out there. But I still maintain you need to have those experiences. Like, you have to be out on the field experiencing that, feeling that, seeing what's coming at you,
right,
so that you can then remember it, and when the next time you see it, you know what to do.
Yeah.
And this isn't, I don't think this is the feat of Justin Fields. I don't know that there's like blame to go in any particular direction. Sometimes you're just going to have games like this. And Cleveland's actually really good.
Oh, they have a Super Bowl roster.
So Cleveland, they took advantage of a worse team and a bad offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, it's a top five or six roster in the NFL. It's just...
But I will say, I didn't see anything from Justin Fields that made me feel like he shouldn't be the starter moving forward.
Well, I barely saw him because it was three and out.
Well, yes, but like, it's not like... I mean, it was a bad game, of course, but he was sacked nine times. Like, I don't know if I can evaluate anything from that game that's going to change my opinion about it. So this Ravens game, how about these spicy Lions, huh?
You know,
I felt bad for them.
You know, I do too, because we both said this. They've got some parts.
And they play tough.
They really do. I mean, they've got a superstar tight end, a great back. Their O-line's not terrible. They've got a pass rusher. They've got a couple coverage guys. Like, I don't love their coach, and I think they're limited at quarterback, but when you watch Detroit play, they led the Packers at Lambeau at half and were kind of doing whatever they want offensively. Like, this is not a pathetic team.
No.
They've got talent.
They're full off kneecap soup.
That's right.
That was a bad break for them. Now, obviously, it was a historic moment. Justin Tucker hitting that 66-yard field goal, but... You know, there were a couple calls yesterday that were a little questionable.
Yes.
And that came after what seemed to be the play expiring.
Yes.
And, you know, so it's a bad break. Obviously, you can argue you don't want it to come down to a moment like this anyway, but, you know, you don't want to leave it in anyone else's hands. But it was an impressive kick by Justin Tucker, who is obviously incredible.
I honestly watched, when I watch the Lions, I look at them and I think, if they haven't, I thought their draft was pretty good. I'm like, they're just another, you need 2 years, two drafts, two free agency periods to turn it around. That's what Matt Rhule has had. This was his second free agent. By the way, the Panthers made another move this morning, another trade to get a corner. I don't think Detroit's culture, ownership, is always my issue.
Right.
Detroit is going to beat somebody this year and ruin their season. It's going to happen at some point.
Yeah, because they're just right there. I mean... Marquise Brown had three drops that could have gone for scores. Like, that was a game that was winnable.
Yes.
You know, whether or not they were going to actually win it, that comes down to how you play throughout the game. Like, I don't want to put this on one particular moment with the refs, but, you know, it's the same thing as Jacksonville. I just want to see them take a step up towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
I expect nothing.
Yeah.
Because why should you? Like, you need to be reasonable about these situations. You can't expect, I mean, we just mentioned it. Justin Herbert was incredible last year. It didn't translate to wins. It looked like they went to the playoffs.
Right.
Like, this is a process,
right,
and you need to be a little bit patient. We just are not really patient as a society. The Ravens are now tied for first in the AFC North and face the undefeated Broncos next Sunday. There are no odds in that game yet, but Bengals 2-1, Ravens 2-1, Browns 2-1, and we'll talk about the Steelers later. And 1-2. So Clemson fell to NC State this weekend, 27-21 in double overtime. So now the 2-2 Tigers are struggling to stay in the top 25. The latest AP rankings have them at number 25, dropping from number 9. Oklahoma fell from 4-6 after a 16-13 win over West Virginia.
Best Iowa team. They played like crap in the first half against Colorado State, but this is the best Iowa team I have seen since, like, I don't even know, since the Pete Carroll USC played him in an Orange Bowl 1 year. Cincinnati, by the way, plays Notre Dame this week. And Notre Dame's coming off a big win.
Yeah.
Does Notre Dame come back down to earth a little bit after kind of rolling?
Well, that was a very close game for most of the game.
Yeah, and then they got that special teams hit. But
well, they're at number 9 after the 41-13 win over Wisconsin. And then Florida jumped to 10. So they are the highest team in the top 25 with a loss is Florida.
Maybe if you take out Alabama, but I think Georgia, Oregon, Penn State, Iowa, Oklahoma are really close. I think Alabama's another level, but I mean Arkansas, I've bet against them twice this year. I'm done doing that. Arkansas's been fantastic. Boy, they got the right coach. You get the right coach, it's amazing what happens.
This college football season has been really
fantastic.
It has. There's just a lot more parity.
Yep. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Michael Vick, four-time Pro Bowler, Fox Sports analyst, 13 years in the NFL. You see him on Fox NFL kickoffs on the weekend. My friend Michael Vick joining us now live, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. I got to be honest. I thought Aaron Rodgers needed a little more than 30 seconds to move down the field. But, I mean, just your takeaway on Aaron's last drive. That's sort of what he does, right?
Yeah, that's just what Aaron do. You give him 37 seconds and a little bit of just a little bit of time, he can make some plays. And he pretty much beat the 49ers with two plays and good clock management. And, you know, the San Francisco 49ers, they got to be kicking themselves in the butt right now because they could have took away the middle of the field and made them work to the sidelines, and they didn't do it. But
yep.
Aaron knows that. He knows where the voids are in the defense. He knows where the gaps are when they plan to cover too high. And, you know, those coverages that when they try to keep things in front of them. So it just came back to bite them. But both quarterbacks played winning football, and it just came down to Green Bay and the veteran, the savvy veteran, you know, putting them out of their misery.
You know, Garoppolo gets a lot of heat. But as you know, Michael, it's very hard when you got a couple of minutes, you trail. Everybody knows you have to throw. And the Packers secondary is pretty darn talented. I know everybody doesn't like Garoppolo. I thought that was one of his best NFL moments. I really did. That drive, I thought, boy, that he earned a lot of credibility with that coaching staff. That was my takeaway. What did you see?
And you know what, Colin? It didn't even surprise me. I look at Jimmy G as one of the top-tier quarterbacks in the league. He don't get a lot of respect, but his resume over the years shows me that he can play the position. So I wasn't shocked that he led the team down the field. You know, just some bad breaks here and there, and, you know, this team wins this football game easily. But Jimmy has what it takes. I think this will silence the critics. I think this will, you know, kind of just shut the fan base up in terms of getting Trey Lance out on the field. The best chance at winning right now, I think, is with Jimmy G, and let the young guy just learn from Jimmy as the weeks go on.
You know, it's interesting when I watch the Rams. They played, Michael, a nearly perfect football game. They were great in the red zone, great on third down. They had one penalty. Stafford was a little nervous early and a little hot. The ball was high. That was a big game for Matt. He settled down. He played well. You know, it's funny. You and I both love DeSean Jackson. He adds a real speed component, but his health is kind of a concern. So I'm not sure if you can rely on him for 17 weeks. But that receiving core, Cooper Kupp, is there a guy in the league that gets less press? What do you make of Cooper Kupp?
Cooper Kupp, he's always open. He's a great route runner, in and out of breaks. He knows when to sit in zone, when to run in man, and he's a smart football player. He's the guy that makes everybody else accessible. He's the reason why Deshaun won't have to play a majority of the snaps, him and Robert Woods. You know, Cooper Kupp is one of the, you know, top elite receivers in the league. It just showed his chemistry with Matthew Stafford and how they connected on so many occasions and in essence opened up the entire field for Deshaun on the deep ball. And he just helped, you know, show what coverages are going to be. He helps, you know, the defense in terms of the offense, in terms of dictating what the defense is trying to play, you know, when he's just positioned in different spots. So one of the premier players in the league, he's going to continue to get better. He's going to continue to help this franchise grow.
You know, Michael, when you are you concerned about Kansas City's defense, or do you just chalk it up to, you know, I mean, Cleveland ran the football on them. Cleveland runs the football on everybody. Justin Herbert was great against them. Justin Herbert's great. Or give me your thoughts about Herbert and what you saw from the Chiefs defense, because it's been gouged now a couple of times this year.
Yeah, Justin Herbert just continues to shine, and he's getting better each and every week. Last year, he showed what he can do. He played at an all-time high. He played at extremely high level, and he's continuing to do that. He's continuing to get better. And on offense for the Chargers, you look at Keenan Allen, you look at the run game, it's all starting to gel. And then on the defensive side of the ball, they're just giving them plenty of opportunities. Asante Samuel Jr. is playing great football. And Derwin James is playing great ball on the defensive side of the ball. So he's getting the opportunities and making the most of it, and really a field goal away from being 3-0. So it's fun to watch a guy like him just continue to get better and better, keep putting pressure on defenses and continuing to learn. He's one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league right now for sure.
Yeah. Do you worry about the Chiefs' defense at all? What do you see? Do you see too many holes? What do you see with Andy Reid's defense?
Yeah, I just think they're giving up a lot of chunk plays, and even though they played two of the top run defenses or run teams in the league in Baltimore in week one, and then Baltimore week two, Cleveland week one, they still supposed to play better football than that. You know, after the run they had last year, I just don't think, they playing at their best. I do think Steve Spagnuolo's defense will continue to get better as the year go on, but it has to happen sooner than later. They can't continue to ask Patrick Mahomes to score points, 30-plus points every game, Carl. Yeah. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, now we've said this before. You can't ask your quarterback to win shootouts because you're going to lose a bunch. That's just the reality of the league. They're asking right. Mahomes now to win a shootout every week. I got to admit, I whiffed on the Raiders. What do you 3-0, toughest division arguably in the AFC. What do you make of the Raiders right now?
Well, I just think right now the Raiders have toughened up a little bit. John Gruden in year four is really showing that he's catching up in terms of offense. Derek Carr playing some of his best ball. He's playing some winning football, and they just look like a tougher football team right now. It was a tough win versus the Dolphins yesterday. They won in overtime, and you know, wins like that build character. So I think John's message is coming across the right way. Derek Carr is buying in, and they got a nice receiving core led by Ruggs. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do in the AFC West. They got to continue to keep better and continue to keep getting better. Get ready for Kansas City. Get ready for the Chargers, because that's going to be their biggest test.
Good stuff, Michael Vick, on a Monday. Great seeing you, my man. Spend the rest of the day having fun. Appreciate it.
Good seeing you, Kyle.
You bet. You know, it is interesting. Derek Carr was great yesterday, and Garoppolo had a great drive. And those are the two guys in the league that nobody wants to acknowledge. Well, they're pretty good. Just go watch the rookie quarterbacks. How hard it is. Okay, I had a conversation yesterday with somebody in the league, and it's like, he was like, it is so hard to win in this league. It is so hard. He goes, now you got COVID stuff. So you lose a player every week to COVID. And then you got injuries, and none of the starters are playing in the preseason. So you're getting more nicked up in September. And he's like, the quarterback play is better. The receiver play is better. You can literally outplay a team. And Green Bay outplayed San Francisco the whole damn night. And they trail with 37 seconds to go. And if Aaron Rodgers is not the quarterback, then Green Bay loses. They had better schemes. They were more physical. They hit Jimmy G 10 times. I mean, Green Bay played really well. They didn't have any blown coverages. They tackled well. They got pressure on Garoppolo. They got a couple calls late, you know, early that went for them, late that went against them. And Green Bay almost lost. And Green Bay is a good football team, a top 7-8 team in this league. And they almost lost. I'm like, it is hard in this league. I know y'all want to fire all the coaches. It is hard to win. Green Bay was great last night. And I couldn't figure it out. 37 seconds left, and I'm like, I don't understand the world. How does Green Bay trail in this football game? They played a brilliant football game. I felt like they controlled the whole game. And you look up and you trail. Aaron, put the cape on. Save us. It's tough. It's a hard league, man. The gap, you know, you got a couple dogs in this league. We all know who they are. But even Detroit, you're in a fist fight every week with Detroit. Every single week.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
WolfandShepherd.com. Dress shoe made and worn by athletes like Gronk and Steve Nash. The crossover business meets athletic shoe. I love it. Wearing mine today. WolfandShepherd.com. Shepherd, S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D. Wolf and Shepherd. Check out their website. Great merch. So what I do in the first month of the year, first 4 or 5 weeks, I'll go to the NFL standings on Monday when I get in and kind of see, who did I whiff on? Like, who did I really whiff on? And I think the one team so far is the Raiders. I had them as a 7-win team last place. I didn't like their defense. They couldn't generate a pass rush. And I felt like Derek Carr was the life preserver. I didn't know if Gruden was working, Mayock was working. And all I knew is the tight end Waller was great and Derek Carr was exceptional. And I know y'all hate Derek Carr, whatever it is. But here's something interesting. He completed the ball to 9 different targets. Now, as much as I was impressed with Green Bay, let's be honest about the Packers. It's all Devontae Adams. Every big throw is to Devontae Adams. Every single one. The Raiders, Derek Carr, this game was wildly entertaining. I whiffed on the Raiders. 9 different targets, 500 yards against Miami's defense. They won a shootout with Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. And there are certain things that really matter in this league when you look at quarterbacks. And this is why I defended for years Tony Romo. Tony Romo's quarterback rating in the fourth, when you often have to throw trailing, is the fourth highest of all time. Tony Romo could play. Derek Carr, his fourth quarter passer rating this year is 127, virtually perfect. And that's different. Anybody can be good in the first quarter. The plays are schemed. Often you set the first 8 to 12 plays. It's your best plays. You want to get a lead because 70% of the teams that lead in the first half win the game, right? So coaches want to take leads into halftime. Everybody looks great with a great coach in the first half. First 12 plays, Jared Goff against Aaron Rodgers looked great in the first. Jameis Winston. What do you do in the fourth? Derek Carr. Now, Aaron Rodgers, and he deserves it, is going to get love for a week off those two completions. And he deserves it. Derek Carr has done that 3 weeks in a row. They got 500 yards against Miami's defense. He beat Lamar Jackson in a shootout. And, you know, say what you want about Pittsburgh. That defense, pretty good. Derek Carr, before it got all injured up, ate it apart. So, you know, and he's doing it until yesterday with no running game. The offensive line for the Raiders, it's hit and miss. It's not terrible. It's not great. It's a little hit and miss. It was better yesterday. And he's doing most of this big throwing late in games where he's got to throw it and everybody knows he's throwing it. So I just watched. You know, you can do a lot wrong in this league. It's really funny. You really can. I mean, Pete Carroll has missed on a lot of first-round picks. Bill Belichick has missed on a lot of draft picks. I don't love the Raiders drafting. Outside of Josh Jacobs, a running back, I don't like their first-round picks. But you know where they've hit is Gruden has gotten the very best out of Derek Carr. And John Gruden deserves credit. Derek always had talent. John, did you see him on the sidelines yesterday? He is every comment. Because Gruden's reputation was he doesn't like any of his quarterbacks, not named Rich Gannon. And he has given Derek Carr a lot of positive vibes. He's got his back. He's really communicating with him. And they've hit on receiving targets. That's what the Raiders have done. They've got a lot of guys who can run and catch. And this league is changing. I mean, Belichick's the best defensive coach in the history of the game and the best coach. He can't score. Can't win. Can't score. Doesn't matter. That's the league. And the Raiders, they can move the ball. A lot of targets, move the ball, 500 yards every week. I swear to God, Vegas, you need luck to win in Vegas. Not even talking about sports. But how lucky that the Raiders are a mess forever and they finally land in Vegas and the first year you can get people into the stadium, they're one of the best watches in the league. The hockey team arrives first year. And they're great. I mean, Vegas forever, we thought they should have pro sports, right? And there was this stigma, you can't gamble even though we knew everybody gambles. And they get the hockey team, the Golden Knights, home run, well run, exciting. And they get the Raiders. And the first year they can put fans in the stands, this is one of the best watches in the league. They're a little rebellious. They're a little counterculture. They're a little different. Here's Gruden after the game.
I don't apologize for winning these games, no matter how we won them. But when you're down 14-0 and score 25 unanswered in the NFL against a team like that, something's going right.
Yeah, the offense is. You know, you get the quarterback right, you elevate him. You know, usually coaches get in and they want to flush out their people, right? Like I want to get my GM and my quarterback and my this and my that. Gruden, he deserves credit for this. He looked at Derek Carr. And he said this 2-3 years ago. He's like, you can win a lot of games in this league with Derek Carr. and he has gotten the very best out of Carr, who's always been a guy whose confidence is sort of fleeting. Like the knock on Carr from the NFL people I know is always he's been a little Kirk Cousins. Like, does he believe in himself? In big games, Kirk Cousins shrinks. And Derek Carr's always felt he's got the talent. Now, I think he's more talented by far than Kirk Cousins, but there's always this thing, let it rip. No, let it rip, Derek. You got a pretty good arm. Does he have confidence in himself? And I think that's where Gruden really deserves credit. He's made Derek know, I'm your guy. I've got your back. I'm going to get you weapons. And they're 3-0. Calling right, calling wrong next.